The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to a superlative Saturday of racing on this edition. You'll hear it all live from 11:40 a.m. on Racing Radio. Sean Quinn, James Millman and Craig Forsyth will be in the studio. Haydock, Ascot, Huntingdon and Lingfield are the afternoon meetings. We'll finish the day with an all-weather fixture on the poly track at Wolverhampton. Plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and joining me on the line is Catherine Fry. How are you, Catherine?
Yeah, good. Thank you, Mark.
Good. I suppose we must start by saying well done with regards to last weekend's racing. You managed to find the winner of the Paddy Power Gold Cup.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, it was amazing. Yeah, to be honest, since he won the John Spirit was kind of a horse that I went into this season with it firmly on my mind that there was a very very decent handicap chasing him. After he came out and won at the showcase, I was just convinced that he would win the Paddy Power. I knew he'd get in off a featherweight. It was a really good job he won at the showcase. That actually got him into the Paddy Power. Going in there on 10-2 was just... I think in sort of... Probably the most anxious I was up at the media day at Martin Keithley's, and you know when people sort of start to talk up at horses, you do sort of sweat a bit. But come the day, I was convinced again, and obviously the money came for Ballinagore, so just had another little nibble, and yeah, it was brilliant, absolutely brilliant. I'm not convinced he's stopped yet. It was he now 1.48. I think he could quite easily go for the December Gold Cup. Wouldn't be any surprise. To be honest, I'd even pitch him in something like the, you know, the Ryanair cut up badly. If Sizing Europe, I know we're talking a long way off, if Sizing Europe does line up in the Ryanair, that's the winner. But if you've got a substandard Ryanair, I could see John Spirit going very close in that.
Okay. I had a good old fashioned nightmare with the race. I looked at John Spirit on your say so, but then I saw it was 7-1 when I was looking. I thought, that's a little bit too short for me in a race like this. I looked at Colour Squadron on the advice of Ben Bramley.
Okay.
Backed that on the nose instead of each way. Finished second. I'd had a glance each way because he's an old favourite of mine, so I made a little bit of money there. And yeah, I looked at the race afterwards. He goes, well, I should have had three of the four there. I should have had Colour Squadron each way. I should have had a glance each way. And I should have had John Spirit. So it was one of those days.
To be honest, Colour Squadron, I couldn't have him on my mind for the Paddy Power purely because of his jumping. But he impressed me. I think he's definitely improved his jumping. The only problem is now, obviously, handicap mark's kind of blown, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think Easter Meteor coming down in front of him didn't do him any favours. I know people say that John Spirit was just tying up, but I don't think he was. Look, John Spirit stays 3 miles. I think he was just idling. I've gone back and I was just watching it on the screen at the course and couldn't really get a clear view. But actually when I've rewatched the race, he's just purely idling. There's plenty more in the tank, but yeah, no, it's brilliant.
Mm. Good stuff. More of the same this week would be
no pressure.
What we're going to do is we're going to look ahead to this weekend's action at Ascot and Haydock. We'll come on to that shortly because we should probably talk about some of the news, and it's not jumps related whatsoever, it's flat related. Richard Hannon is retiring at the end of the year. His son's going to take over the licence. I think we knew it was going to happen, but it's been confirmed now.
Yeah, they hinted, was it Goodwood they hinted, didn't they, that it would probably happen? And just reading here in the Racing Post, I mean, they say that really nothing's really going to change. The two have been working alongside for years, and that will continue. It's just obviously now the name on the actual licence is going to be Richard Hannon Jr. rather than Richard Hannon Sr. But yeah, what a fantastic career really, isn't it?
Yeah, remarkable.
Just reading down the list here of the horses that he's had through his hands, and really nothing like going out at the top. Is there, I mean, Sky Lantern and last couple of seasons Camford Cliffs, and obviously we're leaving out Toronado there. I think it's obviously I was a massive Dawn Approach fan all the way all the way through the flat season, and the kind of the duels with Tornado really made the flat season for me, and great for him. And his last season, he was able to go out on such a high with the Sussex Stakes. It's crazy though. It's like the tributes today are almost reading like obituaries, aren't they?
Like, oh dear.
Yeah, and he's not going anywhere. He's going to still be very much part of the team, just not the main engine driver. So yeah, it's a shame that he's retiring, but he's bowing out at the top, and he's still going to be an active part, isn't he?
Yeah, he says he's still going to go out in the morning and watch them work and everything.
Exactly,
and
yeah.
He's going to get out when he can. He says he'll still go to Royal Ascot and that. Just maybe not as many meetings as what he had in the past. But what is he, 68? I can understand why he'd be doing that.
Of course, yeah. I mean, God, he deserves to sort of on a weekday when he doesn't need to be on course now. Brilliant. He does the work in the yard in the morning. He can kick back in the afternoon and watch it on TV. But no, fantastic career. Brilliant part of racing's rich tapestry, really, and it'd be interesting. I don't think we'll see much change, really. Like I said, two have been working alongside for years. It's not going to change that much, is it?
No. 5 times champion trainer in Britain, 4,194 career winners. So just those numbers are remarkable. It shows how good he was. Richard Hannon Jr. has been very much part of it anyway, hasn't he? And we've seen the pipes handover and everything else in the past. I'm sure it'll just carry on.
It's reminiscent of that, really, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Obviously, Martin is still very much involved down at Pond House. Really, him and David worked alongside each other for years, and I think we'll see very much a situation like this. I was like at Cheltenham last weekend, saw Martin Pike running around. I think that's, you get to imagine Goodwood next year. You'll obviously, Richard Hannon Jr. is going to be fronting the interviews, and you'll still see the old guy in the background. And it's a good comparison to make, really, Mark. I'd say that's exactly it.
Let's focus on the jump stuff then this weekend. Plenty to look at. We'll start at Ascot. We'll do 3 of their races, and then we'll move on to the big two over at Haydock. And the first race we're going to look at is the 205 at Ascot. Before we start, I must just say it's a great weekend of racing at both venues, but unfortunately the fields have just cut up a little bit.
Yeah, you could say that. disappointed we're not going to see Captain Conan take on Alpha Ross.
Yeah.
What can you say about this race? not a lot, really. Apart from, Captain Chris, bless him. Nobody would love it more than me if we saw him take this. I mean, look, he won this last year, didn't he?
Yeah, did you?
But he'll go through the going. The thing is with Captain Chris, yes, you know, when he won the Arkle, he looked to have the world at his feet, didn't he?
Hmm.
And he went on to win a Punchestown, and then season after that, the wheels kind of came off the bus a bit. Came out last year and won this. Was absolutely willing him to hold on in the King George last year, and that was attritional. Obviously, since then we've seen Long Run has really regressed since last year's King George, which is an absolute shame. We'll obviously cover that extensively when we talk about the Betfair Chase. Captain Chris, who knows? You never know which Captain Chris is going to turn up. Obviously, he's helped here in the fact that it's a right-handed track. French Opera, well, he's great horse, but he's not really in this sphere, is he?
No.
I mean, if you go, it's mad to go back to that the game spirit now. Obviously, where he ran Sprinter Sacra, didn't he? Pretty close, 6 lengths. But really, that's really the only kind of worthwhile bit of form if you're going back through. What was he, 8th in the Grand Annual? I mean, you've got horses that are running in the handicap chase that finished in front of him in the Grand Annual. I'd fall off the sofa in shock if French Opera was to win this tomorrow. It looks as though he's just running for the prize money, isn't it, really? Exciting to see him back. The one concern I would have is Paul Nicholls talked extensively last weekend that some of his he said at the start of the season that some of his were needing the run. And then I was very interested to hear the interview last weekend where he said that he couldn't, just had no explanation why some of his were running so well and some of his were running horrendously. Now, obviously, we all know Alfa Roff is going to have been trained to the minute. They wouldn't bring him back here if they didn't think that he was fit and well. Problem is, with the long layoff and the fact that one or two are just needing to run, that would be my only concern. But if that had been, if Captain Conan had still been in the race, I would actually pick Captain Conan Alfa Roff purely because of that reason. But what he's faced with, kind of two rivals here, gets a bit of weight from Captain Chris. It's almost a penalty kick, isn't it?
I don't know if I'd go that far, but it's definitely a match for me between Captain Chris and Alfa Roff. And I don't know, you know, because Captain Chris, he won this last year, of course. He ran a blinder in the King George when finishing second, and he obviously had that terrible season before last year, but at least we saw signs of him being back to somewhere like himself last year. And I think if he is going to get a decent prize this year, I think this could be the one for him. But I think I definitely think it's between Alfa Roff and Captain Chris.
It's just the things he does sometimes. I mean, look at the back at Ascot in February when he was going to win and then made that absolutely horrendous mistake. He's just, don't get me wrong, I love Captain Chris, but he frustrates the hell out of me. I know what you're saying, but I think Alfa Roff, if you're looking at Alfa Roff to go on and be a King George horse, then he's got to win this, really, hasn't he?
And he's very much the safer option of the two, isn't he?
You probably
know you're going to get more with him.
And if you go, I mean, look at where Alfa Roff really, you go back to the Supreme Novices of, is it 2011? Alfa Roff, Spirit Sun, Sprinter Sakura and Q Card. I mean, it's unbelievable, isn't it?
It's not a bad race, is it?
Good,
so you're going to go with Alfa Roff there in the 205, the Amelin 1965 chase. Onto the 240 at Ascot, that's the Coral Hurdle, registered as the Ascot Hurdle. It's a grade 2 over 2 miles and 3 furlongs, and probably another match. We've got Annie Power against Zarkander probably here, and Annie Power is exciting. She could be absolutely anything. She's been linked to Quivega earlier on in the week in the Racing Post compared to Quivega, and she's got a better record than Quivega did at this point, which is interesting. But this is going to be her first real big test, isn't it, against a proven performer like Zarkander?
Yeah, absolutely. If we start with Zarkander, obviously he's won first time out, hasn't he? If you go back through his form with Zarkander, the only time that he does actually disappoint slightly, he's in his champion hurdles. I believe when he was fifth in the champion hurdle, he was actually an ill horse. He was this year's champion hurdle. To be honest, obviously I'm a massive Hurricane Fly fan, but I actually thought Zarkander was the main danger to Hurricane Fly. I was a little bit disappointed with him in the champion hurdle. Interesting that Paul Nicholls has sort of come out after that at the back end of last season and said that particular course at Cheltenham doesn't play to his strength. I actually hope that we'll see Zarkander campaigned over further. I'm convinced that Zarkander could win a world hurdle. It's got to give a horse. I mean, Annie Power on 155 is, you say, Mark, she could be anything. The fact that, I mean, the one worry you'd have with Annie Power would be her jumping. She's not always that fluent. But I think we're looking at a potential superstar here, which that's no secret. Everybody knows that. I'm stating the obvious. The fact that they are talking about her in champion hurdle terms, but it's hard, isn't it? What are you going to do with Annie Power? Because obviously you've got Quivega still very much at the top of her game, and Hurricane Fly still very much at the top of his game. Or, you know, both in the same stable. So where they go with her after this, if she does beat Zarkander? Because I mean, imagine if she does beat Zarkander. So it's, I know I used the phrase just now when I was talking about Captain Chris, but it really is world at the feet stuff, isn't it? The fact that Zarkander has got to give her a fair bit of weight there is worrying. And also, if Ruby is going to know Zarkander like the back of his hand, he's going to know every tactic that they are going to plot with Zarkander. And it, obviously, he knows Annie Power as well. Ruby is in the best position, isn't he? The other two, Bygones of Bridwell, that's not winning this, isn't it? Magnificent, well, lovely horse. Progressive horse, very, very talented, but fair play for connections to keeping him in here. Booked for third place prize money, fantastic. At the prices, to be honest, I believe that Zarkander at the moment is second favourite. I'm not going to have a bet in this race, but if I was forced to, you'd bet with the value for everything that we know about Zarkander. Zarkander's form is out there, it's exposed. If you go back to the Aintree hurdle, fantastic win in that. Who's he finished in front of? The new one, 1,000 Stars, Oscar Whiskey. That form is absolutely red hot. You would back Zarkander, but Annie Power, it's all bubbling under the surface. We think we know what she's going to do here. We're just going to be watching for her to go on and prove it. Hard.
It is tricky. I've just got this nagging in the back of my head that Willie Mullins has sent it over to Ascot when he didn't really need to, and the fact that Ruby Walsh has travelled over, we know he doesn't come over very often either. And I don't know, I think that's, and the fact that she's so prolific, and I think a lot of her, I just think it screams to me that they've had this in mind for a while.
Yeah. And obviously Willie said, didn't he, at the start of the season, I mean, brilliant, it was music to my ears, that he is going to be targeting English racing more, and that's absolutely fantastic. Now, I believe, I haven't obviously since they've just declared that, but is it right that Ruby's now just got the one ride on the Ascot card? And then obviously he's going to be hot footing it back for Navan on Sunday, which is a fantastic card. It's, yeah, I can't call it, Mark, but if I have to call it from betting purposes, then with what we know about Zarkander, you have to go there, but fully expecting Annie Power to win, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Just flicking through the card at Ascot, Ruby Walsh has got one in the last as well. He's on Manila, right, online for Rebecca Curtis.
Oh, okay.
But still, to come over for only two rides, and obviously Annie Power is the main one, so interesting. It will be an intriguing race, I imagine. But you're going to side with Zarkander then on value purposes?
For value purposes only, yeah.
Okay. Let's move on to the final race. We're going to look at Ascot. Thankfully, there's a few more in this. It's still only seven runners, but this handicap chase is over 2 miles and one furlong. And where do you want to start here? Should we start with Drum Shambo, who arrives here in form? And course and distance form always relatively important at Ascot as well.
Yeah, it is. I think Ascot helps his cause. He has got a tendency to jump right. She won last month on 138. He's now up to 147. Venetia's still in flying form. I think there's Drum Shambo, Viva Colonna, and King Edmund, and they all ran in the Grand Annual. And Drum Shambo actually finished best of all in that, finished fourth. I think Viva Colonia, he's third to Conquisto in the Old Roan. Obviously, Conquisto was well beaten in last weekend's Paddy Power chase, but to be honest, I wouldn't worry too much about that. I never saw Charnham playing to Conquisto's strengths, so I think he can strike a line through that, given what he'd shown at tracks such as Haydock Air and Aintree, which were all quite similar. It was of no surprise. I think, obviously, Daryl Jacob now taking the ride for Brian Emerson. Desperate shame about Danny Cook being injured again. Really do feel for him. He's on the same mark here as he was in the Old Roan. No surprise. This is actually a tricky little handicap. The one I'm quite interested in is Alasi. Obviously, she beat Champion Court at Kempton last February. Champion Court was actually rumoured to have been ill, and as he was, really, you know, give him his due. I know, obviously, the connections were disappointed with how he actually showed himself in the Paddy Power last week. But, you know, if you give Champion Court his due, he was running as a sick horse or, you know, back end of last season, and still managed to come out and win at Cheltenham in April. I think the ground would be perfect for Alasi. Warmed up with the third in the listed mares hurdle at Weatherby three weeks ago now, isn't it? She is down to 135. She was 138 when she beat Champion Court. I know we haven't got any prices through here, but she would be my fancy in the race. Lanchetto, was he stable in relatively good form? Came with a late rally, didn't he, to try and catch Drum Shambo at Ascot. It's up £4 for that. It's Alasi for me.
Okay, Alasi then. In the 3:15 at Ascot, let's move over to Haydock for a very good card there. We're going to look at the two big races on their card. We have betting on site for them as well, so I'll relay that As we go along, the 225 is where we're going to start the fixed brush handicap hurdle, which is a grade 3 contest over 3 miles, 17 of them in the lineup for this very competitive stuff. And Master of the Sea is the 11-2 favourite at the time of recording. Gevry Chambertin is 6-1 with Gullin Bursty. It's 8-1 for Trust and Times and Two Rockers. 11-1 for Utopia Debord. Life for It is 12-1. 14s for Crowning Jewel and Eli Brown. And then 16-1 or bigger prices the rest. So Master of the Sea is the favourite at the time of recording. And he had a good start to last year, didn't he? But just tailed off a little bit towards the end of the season. Goes well fresh.
Yeah, he does. Now, the one worry, I was at Chepstow yesterday, and I was delighted to see the Twist and Davis stable have a winner and a second. But I was actually getting a bit worried about their form. Obviously, I felt that a few of their horses last weekend didn't really... I was quite disappointed in Tour de Champ. That would be my worry, that the form of the stable for them is a little bit in and out. I don't think you can... He ran in the Coral Cup, didn't he? I actually quite fancied him for that.
Yeah.
Not disgraced behind Medinas. And then, let's see, beaten on better grounds and by Atfisher's Cross in Aintree in the Grade 1.
Yeah, so he tailed off. He basically went up in grade and didn't quite manage it.
No. I can see all the arguments behind him. He beat beat that lunatic Captain Sunshine, didn't he, at Newbury in February. Can see all the arguments behind him, but I just feel that I wouldn't really be backing him at 11-2 for this. Gevry Chambertin, see, he won the novice event, didn't he, on the cards last year, and then went in again quite impressively at Wincanton in January, and then I was disappointed with him at Cheltenham. Went sent off favourite for the conditional jockeys hurdle and pulled up Salubrious race, and then again was actually finished behind Master of the Sea, didn't he?
A long way behind you.
Yeah, at Aintree. So on a little bit of a recovery mission, again with that in mind, would you want to be backing him at 6-1? I can't understand Gullin Bursty being in those same prices. The horse for me, Mark, is Trust and Times. Okay. Obviously, he won this race last year, and he did impress me last year. He picked up an injury when he was second at Haydock in February. Previously, he beat Holywell in this last year, and obviously Holywell went on to win the Potemkin, and didn't actually disgrace himself in the Grade 1, the one at Aintree that Solwick won. The world hurdle equivalent, didn't disgrace himself in that Holywell. So, you know, that form's pretty good. I think when we saw him line up behind Tidal Bay and his reappearance in the West Yorkshire hurdle, I thought he travelled very, very smoothly into the race and jumped very well. You could see a point in the race where he gets tired, and he's not knocked around for that. And I was very, very happy to see that. I think an awful lot of this horse. After he won this last year, he went down to contest the Grade One Long Walk at Ascot. That was run on revolting grounds, and he wasn't disgraced. He was 20 lengths behind Roger Civilla, but he didn't disgrace himself in my eyes. I think we're going to see him follow a similar path to last year. With that in mind, I think he can take this again. He carries the same weight as last year. Obviously, he's off 148, but yeah, he is my bet for the race. I know we probably have to talk about Two Rockers as well. Won the prestige at Haydock in horrendous ground last February. A lot of people were shouting about him for the Neptune, but I could never really see that argument. Obviously, look, he likes the place. I probably have to factor him. Same. He's, what was he? Is he eights with you as well, Mark?
Yes. Sorry.
Yeah. Two for me would be Trust and Times and Two Rockers. Also, would like to mention, obviously, is Alfie Sharon. I think this is going to be very much a case of watch the market. Probably we're looking at a Grand National campaign with that horse. So I think we'll sort of see him have a few runs over hurdles to preserve the old chase mark. Alfie Sharon is on my shortlist for the Grand National at this stage, so I'll be watching him closely. But yeah, trust in time. So I'm still very excited from him. Didn't see anything at Weatherby to put me off him, so he's for me.
Okay, trust in times then. In the fixed brush hurdle, onto the feature race of the day. It's at 3 o'clock at Haydock. It's the Betfair Chase, registered as the Lancashire Chase. Grade 1 contest over 3 miles and 1 furlong, and pretty much 8 top class Grade 1 performers. It's an absolutely cracking renewal. We have Gold Cup hero Bobsworth at the top of the betting at 9-4. Last year's winner Silviniaco Conti is 5-2. Dynast is 11-2. Q Card 6s. Tidal Bay 8s. Long Run 12-1. Wadami is 16-1. And the Giant Bolster 20s. You could make a case for literally all 8 of them, couldn't you? If you wanted to go into it. But Bobsworth at the top of the betting. What do you make of him to start with?
I think he'll win.
Right, fair enough.
if you go, I mean, I didn't expect him to win the Hennessy last year. I thought Newbury won't play to his strengths. He's happiest at Cheltenham. You look back to Newbury last year. Who have we got and filling the placings? You've got Tidal Bay and First Lieutenant. Tidal Bay obviously went on to win the Lexus. One of the races of the season, both in UK and Irish racing, to me last year. Then good old First Lieutenant. See, First Lieutenant ended his season with a bang in the bowl. Entry 180 rating. If you'd have asked me this time last year, would Haydock play to his strengths? I'd have said no. But the fact that he handled Newbury Haydock characteristics are very similar. I think this horse is an absolute warrior. He wasn't even at his best. Obviously, there'd been some sort of mixed vibes about him, hadn't there, in the run-up to the Gold Cup. And will we see him? Well, he's not working right. He's not himself. I don't think he was himself in the Gold Cup, and he still managed to win. And that really did turn out to be the fact that it had absolutely hosed down with rain for about 6 hours before the Gold Cup. It was an absolute attrition. Saturday Shams is no mug. He put him in his place. Q Card, can't really see. There's nothing to do with the fact that it's 3 miles, because if he's going to get 3 miles anyway, he will get it at Haydock. The one with Q Card I have is I wasn't at Exeter, but it was visible on the screens that he was carrying a lot of condition in the Holden. But it was kind of more the manner that he went out that worries me. They are saying that he wasn't quite right, so you can forgive one run. But even with that, I still couldn't have him up there at 3 miles mixing it with the likes of Bobsworth and Tidal Bay, who we'll move on to in a minute. So I did a podcast the other night with the Final Furlong Pod, and I got laughed out of town for my process of elimination, where I was striking a line through him and came up with Bobsworth, and they were like, all that work and you've put up the favourite, that's ridiculous. Dynast. Now, I liked Dynast at the start of the season. I was very excited and about Dynast, and I thought that he would be my main King George bet. My problem with that is that the vibes haven't been that good about Dynast. Obviously, we saw him have a late switch at Cheltenham from the RSA to the Deucin. You wouldn't really do that if the vibes were right. To his credit, even though he wasn't right, he ran a blinder. But he was absolutely fantastic at Aintree. But there does seem to be a niggling little problem with Dynast. He's missed 2 engagements so far. This is one of the, I'm sure this is going to be one of the races of the season, and it's fantastic that they've all stood their ground and that we're seeing it this early on. I obviously want to see how he stands up against the big guns, but just purely for the vibes, I couldn't have him. Poor old Long Run. What can you say? I mean, he's been a fantastic servant, but I do think now he really is on the regressive path. I don't really know what happened in the Charlie Hall, only that he just did not look himself. I know that there was a rumour of a bad scope.
He hit two fences very hard.
Yeah, and then he did, but I've seen him make more horrendous mistakes than that. If you go back to last year's King George, I think obviously the reins are out of Sam Whaley Cohen's hand at one stage, and he's still sort of plugged back to beat Captain Chris. I watched the closing stages of the Charlie Hall again the other day, and he just, I mean, you know, he's like falling over the last two. He just didn't look right. I know they say that Yogi Breisner has been down to school him, and obviously Long Run always had a problem with his jumping, but to me that's not the problem. It is a problem, but it's part of the bigger picture. He had his worst ever placing in the Charlie Hall. He'd never been out the first three before that. Hate set, sadly, I do think he is regressive. Roy DeMay is one of the most progressive horses in training at the moment. Obviously, he came out and won the JM Wine at Down Royal, beat Sizing Europe. Yep, he's progressive, but he's still, what, £13 off of Bob's Worth. Silvino Conti, who won the race last year. I think the fall at Cheltenham, I didn't expect him to be travelling so well in the Gold Cup. Surprised me. I didn't think Cheltenham would, he played to Cheltenham's strengths at all. When he came down, I don't think he would have beaten Bobsworth, but obviously he's certainly been in the shake-up. I think the fall affected his confidence at Aintree. His jumping was very uncharacteristic, and he was obviously feeling the effects of a long season. Talked about it with the return of Alfaroff, just the fact that one or two are needing the run, and obviously he is one of the stable stars. So I still can't have Silvani Arcaconti beating Bobsworth. Giant Bolster, fantastic servant. Obviously second in the 2012 Gold Cup to Synchronised. Game As You Like, can't have him beating Bobsworth. Tidal Bay, I think he's the nearest challenger. Paul Nicholls has absolutely revitalised him. You imagine what, no disrespect to Howard Johnson, but imagine if Paul Nicholls had had him all his career. He'd have won a Gold Cup, wouldn't he?
Mm-hmm.
He's worked absolutely wonders with him. It's very interesting. I've read a bit of the Tidal Bay story today in the Racing Post. It's very interesting to say that people had labelled him a dog and a hound because of his head carriage, but all the jockeys that ever rode him said that they never ever considered him with that. And that, I think it's Paddy Brennan that says that he's the only horse that he'd ridden with that head carriage that wasn't ungenuine. That's just the way he is. That Lexus win last year, that was incredible. Second in the Hennessy as well. He's Bob's main danger in this, I'm convinced of it. Showed he was in good heart, the West Yorkshire Hurdle. I know he's 12. I know he'll be going into next year's Gold Cup at the age of 13, but he really is having a late renaissance to his career, and that's fantastic to see. But things considered, Mark, can't see past the Gold Cup winner. I think this horse is an absolute superstar, and he's not your flashy superstar. He's not the type of, if he was a person, he's not the type that the paparazzi would be chasing around, and that's why I love him. He's so modest, he's so understated, yet he's so talented, and he gives his all.
Good. I like that. A working class hero of a horse.
Absolutely.
I must say I do disagree with you slightly.
Okay, go on.
I quite like Silvaniaco Conti.
Okay.
I think that Bobsworth, I think that he needs the stiff finish at Cheltenham and all of the 3.25 miles to really prove his best. And I think that this is more of a target for Silvaniaco Conti, whereas I think Bobsworth will be obviously aimed at the later on in the season. I just think at this time of the year, Silvaniaco Conti might be the one that's fully primed and aimed at this. But what do I know? I didn't tip John Spirit, did I?
yeah, but you said that you would have backed him.
And the other thing is Long Run as well. Yeah, it's interesting. I can't understand my feelings towards Long Run at the moment. All this career, I've been against Long Run, really.
Same here, and now I feel sorry for
him. Exactly. I don't know how to handle it.
The heart is a fickle thing.
It is, yes. I know he's French bred, and you've got to be careful because he will start regressing very quickly. But he did win the King George last year still, and it's just that run at Wetherby, he made mistakes, and he needs his first run usually anyway. And I just think maybe when he's a little bit older, he might just need that first run a little bit more than he used to. And I don't think he's completely worth writing him off just yet. I think after this weekend, if he's terrible again, I will then probably think, right, he's on the regress very quickly. But I think he probably is on the regress, but I don't think it's quite as quickly as just write him off straight away.
It's the rapid decline in his... if you go back to... Where are we? So if you go back to February 2012, he's still rated 182.
Yeah.
And now where are we? He's on 171 and looked to be, a big red arrow. When Long Run won the Gold Cup, I was absolutely gobsmacked. I never thought... I was like, he won't win a Gold Cup. He can't jump. He doesn't like Cheltenham. The fact that he was beaten in the Paddy Power by Little Josh... that to me was, I thought, well, yeah, absolutely. And so he surprised me. And I actually, I've had a, I've kind of had an in and out relationship with Long Run, really. I've never really known what to make of him, but the back end of last season, I did fall in love with him a little bit, because I just saw how much he tries his heart out, and we talk about Bobsworth being brave, but Long Run is so brave. You look at the finish of the Punchestown Gold Cup with him, Sir Deschamps, and First Lieutenant. And that, to me, just epitomises the jumping game. Three absolute talents, just all in there fighting their heart out. I do. Long Run now firmly does have a place in my heart. There's so many in here. Imagine the sight of them all. Imagine if we come to the last and you've got Bobsworth, Tidal Bay and Long Run all upsides. I think I might explode. do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mark, we'll have a little match bet between ourselves on Bobsworth and Sylvania Conte. I'm actually up in Leeds on Tuesday. So if you beat me, I'll buy you hot chocolate.
Oh, how well. Fair enough, and I'll buy you the hot beverage of your choice.
Okay, excellent. We're on. Yeah.
Okay, well, that's good. So you're going with Bobsworth then,
yeah,
in the big one. Let's just have a little bit of a summary then, because we've been rattling on for quite a while here.
Yeah.
Let's spin through your selections one more time. A five race podcast bonanza. How about this?
I know. Where did we start? You're gonna have to.
It seems like it was last Tuesday when we started.
Yeah, I know. We started with the Amlin.
Yes. That's
yeah,
right.
We started with the Amlin. Okay. It's no surprises, but Alpha Off. With the Coral Hurdle, for value purposes, Zarkander, but fully expecting Annie Power to win. With the 3:15, the Carey Group Handicap Chase, I will be with the Mare Alasi in the Fixed Brush Hurdle at Haydock, which is the Where Are the Times here?
It's the 2:25.
2:25 at Haydock. I will be with Trust in Times, and in the absolute race of the season so far, the Betfair Chase, the 3:00 at Haydock, I will be with the Gold Cup hero, Bobsworth.
Okay, good stuff. Can't wait for Saturday now. good luck with those selections and enjoy the action.
Cheers, Mark. Thanks a lot.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.